In this week's episode, you guys, I'm kind of nerding out a little bit, just like a teeny tiny little bit, because we have Lisa from 50 Flowers and she's bringing her wealth of knowledge. Not only has this woman worked in the floral industry for quite a long time, but she is a really, really rad entrepreneur and she's here to share some of her knowledge, some of her insight with us.
We are gathered here today to bring together the wedding community. Whether you are a seasoned pro, a newbie planning to start your own wedding business, or an engaged couple hoping to see behind the scenes, we're here to share tips, tricks, and laughs with you as we talk weddings. The Union Podcast is a show that aims to build a community for those in the wedding planning trenches. Join Jamie Wolfer, Heather Laurie Fear, and special guests in roundtable discussions about the challenges and joys of the wedding business. And now, here come your hosts, Jamie and Heather.
Well, how are things going over there?
Oh, with 50?
Yeah.
Or personally? Or
I mean, on every front, because I was telling her, you're like an inspiration to me, that you are such a powerful leader. And I'm like, I just want to learn from her. This is so great.
What's really great is that I really don't feel like that. I feel like I'm a fake.
It's always that imposter syndrome that everybody feels, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think that as long as we wake up every day and say, no, I'm really me. And I really can't believe that, first off, we're in where we are.
You know? Yeah.
And like, I just found out my kids are not going back to school. I don't know what I'm going to do.
No,
I didn't know what I'm going to do.
That's a real challenge.
Yeah. I actually, we're going to open up our second floor in the building. We have an extra office. Okay. And I hired an elementary ed teacher to come in and teach. And I told all my gals on the team who have kids that she's got roommates and we'll bring them in because Heather, I know you have baby.
Uh-huh.
A year old now, right?
She's almost a year. She's 9 months, but she's acts like a year old. She's walking. So
yeah.
My
second crazy. Walked at 4 months.
What? Uh-huh. How is that even possible that their body could do
Dude,
that?
What's wrong with my kids? None of them walk.
Better. Don't let them walk.
Like, I know. It was so funny because my first round was twins. So my mom always said, like, people look forward to the walking, but you're not actually going to like it because then they're actually mobile. So we would make these jokes about like, oh no, didn't mommy accidentally push you over? Oh no, maybe you should try walking for a while. We didn't actually shove the kids, but it was like, no, once they walk.
Oh, yeah. Your life changes.
I mean, everything. Yeah.
It's really interesting. How old are your twins?
10.
Okay. So I have a 10-year-old. And are you homeschooling?
If they are doing social distancing and requiring masks at school, listen,
I know.
My kids, no, I'm not going to send them in for that. No. That's just going to feel weird and dystopian, and we'll homeschool if we have to.
Yeah. It's, did you homeschool at the end of last year? And, did you want to pull your hair out and cry every day?
My husband did most of the hands-on schooling because his work just screeched to a halt. Oh. He's a general contractor. So he did most of the schooling so I could keep, because obviously we have so much digital stuff that I could keep doing.
Yeah.
So he's not a big drinker. Let's just say he drank a lot more during that time.
Oh, I think we all have. I mean, you want to talk about an industry that's got to be just booming, right?
Yeah.
Booze.
The wine sales.
It is.
Booze, you know?
Yeah. Booze. Booze gets you through everything. Like,
it does.
They say it sells the best at the peaks of life and the lowest. It's very stable market.
And it's all encompassing and it always makes you either, whether you're sad or you're celebrating, you can always turn to it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So yes, we did homeschool at the end of last year and it was, I mean, I did quite a bit with them, but they were doing schoolwork for 7 hours a day.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh no. I'm like, 2 hours, my tooth. What is that? No, this is a full day of school.
Exactly. You've got, and not just that, you have to be creative in keeping them engaged. It was, I am so happy that I hired somebody already just to help me, because doing that plus having to go through the whole screeching halt of the business, where the only thing that stopped was the income.
Yeah.
You know, we still had to I mean, it wasn't as though it's like, oh, it's all over. No, it was, we've worked harder than we've ever worked.
Yeah. And because you have to keep the momentum going for when this does start moving forward again, which it's like, you can't just go, all right, everyone's done. We're laying everybody off and just going to sit here and wait it out, because then you're going to be rebuilding from scratch.
Well, number one, number two, we also had to reach out to people. You know, it's something that we did very different that, you know, most people are like, oh, you know, I can just close my bakery or mm-hmm. I can just do this. No, we had, you know, we were the first and four, you know, the very first to call several of our couples and say, hey, we don't think your wedding's going to happen on this day. Mm-hmm. So we're proactively reaching out to say, let's reschedule. Let us put it on pause and just, we'll reschedule. And so many people were like, you're crazy, lady. And it's like, no, you know, 2 days later, they're like calling and bawling and just, you know, it is what it is. So you can't complain about it because it's not over and it's not going to be over any day soon. So,
Yeah. Well, we're so glad we have you here. And just, I know you do have some perspective, obviously never having gone through a season like this in the wedding industry, but you've been around. Yeah. So you've had your time and you've been seasoned through some difficult times and probably some fantastic seasons for your business. And we just see that as a model of success that you've been able to weather that, even though it's certainly in a tough moment now. So would you mind telling us a little bit about how you all got started? I've heard this before, but I think it's so amazing because you really followed your passion and it shows so much of your heart, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, first off, talking about entrepreneurship is one of my favorite topics to talk about because I didn't even realize I was an entrepreneur until about 6 years ago.
When really?
Oh, yeah. You know, it just should be a seed of encouragement to a lot of people because, you know, back in, and I'm going to, this is my generation, back in the 80s, we didn't study entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. You know, there weren't venture colleges and, you know, business, you know, it was not talked about or celebrated, you know. And so 6 years ago, I found my tribe, which is an mm-hmm. amazing group, EO, that's when it was like, oh, okay, there are other people that think like me. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. EO is amazing. Entrepreneurs Organization, is that what it's called?
Uh-huh. EO. I was like, and, cool. Someone crack that code for me because that was EO.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little about that, I guess?
Oh, definitely. I'd love to. It's a global organization of like-minded people, entrepreneurs that, you know, you're selected to be part of it. And you have certain goals, you know, certain metrics that you've even to apply that you have to meet. Like you have to have $1 million business, you know, you have to be the owner, you have this. And what it is a, you know, you find your local chapter and you join the local chapter and then you have they assign you to a forum. And it's a group of, you know, 5 to 8 people that you meet with monthly and you talk about being an entrepreneur. And it becomes your, you know, your support group in a big way. And then also your chapter will bring in speakers that, you know, being an entrepreneur, you're very isolated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have, you know, if you go work for a big corporation, right, the corporation will put on, you know, an annual convention. Well, before COVID.
Right. Normally.
Exactly. Sorry. Just had to throw that out there. It's kind of funny. And then they provide you all this structure, you know, like in 50 Flowers, when someone joins 50 Flowers, you know, we have to go set up everything. You know, we set up their phone, their computer, that, you know, and when you're this small business, it's taxing. You know, and learning how to be more effective in what you do and then also being effective in what you do and then learning outside of your bubble of your industry and your specific niche that you're in, you know, it's hard to find that support group. And that's what EO brings that to my table, at least. And, you know, there is an EOA, which is an accelerator program. with an EO. So if you're not a $1 million business, it helps you graduate, and it will take you to, like, you know, it opens and broadens your scope of how do you grow your business? Because so often many of us entrepreneurs are so busy working in our business that it's a challenge to how do you work on it? You know, mm-hmm. when do you get to do a Q2 strategy planning meeting of where you want to be in 5 years? Yeah. You know, who gets to do that?
All right, guys, you've heard Jamie talk about this before. HoneyBook is her go-to system for running her wedding planning and coordination business. And if you haven't checked it out yet, this is a really special time because they're offering an insane deal for all of you who are, you know, suffering during this crazy year of 2020. So you can get started. You can use this time to get organized, dial in your systems of your business, and it's going to cost you $1 a month. They're seriously offering their software for $1 a month for the first 8 months if you sign up before August 12th. So if you want to get started with HoneyBook and you just haven't done it yet, take advantage of the special deal, $1 a month, again, all the way through the beginning of 2021. So hopefully by then we'll be seeing the industry move forward and you can take this time to really fine tune your systems and be ready for an amazing 2021. So if you want to get in on this deal, you're going to go to theunionpodcast.com/dollar because it's that $1 a month deal. So once again, theunionpodcast.com/dollar. Enjoy and let us know how the system works out for you. We think you're going to love it.
Yeah, I think it's also having that tribe, that community of people who understand you, because I know my husband and I are both entrepreneurs and we're very tapped into a bunch of entrepreneurs here in San Diego. But if we didn't have that, we would feel like crazy people because being an entrepreneur is very hard. And I don't think we're necessarily doing it wrong. It's just a really hard thing to do. And I think that perspective of being connected to others who can go, yeah, I've had that happen. That does happen. And there's no way you were going to be able to predict that. And that's okay. And just here are some adjustments. It's having that support and realizing you're not alone, even though sometimes it feels a little bit lonely.
Oh, I honestly think you are alone.
Think you totally are.
And you have to build your own tribe around you unless you seek out other like-minded individuals. I can't tell you how many people have, you know, and not just that, it's that internal dialogue that we tell ourselves, like, what is wrong with me? You know, why am I not okay with, you know, just why do I have to work 12 hours a day and just put my nose into the ground, into the sand, and just not give up, you know, why? And understanding that it's because it's part of my DNA, it took me, I mean, I was mid-40s to realize that it's okay. You know, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. To find that balance, especially like you said, with your children and all of that. Cause I've had that with my little one that I'm like, I should be soaking up this time. We're in like this natural lull this year. Most of my stuff's virtual, pretty self-maintained. I should just be hanging out with her every day. And instead I'm like, I've got a notebook of ideas of stuff I want to turn back to. And I'm like, I'm going to start this. I'm going to start that. And I'm like, what am I doing? Exactly. I need to hang out with her.
Exactly. Yeah.
I feel like I run into that. I mean, I definitely feel the isolated portion of things because I don't have, or I historically have not had other entrepreneurs of sorts that I felt like understood that I've even connected with. I think even just the beginning of kind of doing this with Heather, I'm like, oh, there's more people. Oh, more people think like this. And it's been interesting to kind of bridge that gap for me and be like, oh, you're not crazy. Yeah. You're not insane for wanting to start a YouTube channel or to start a second YouTube channel or have your husband start a YouTube channel. Like, we're at this point where I'm like, how much more can I pile on? I don't know, but I'm going to find out.
Exactly.
but I like, we filmed one for my daughters the other day. And I was like, am I seriously, I don't have weddings, so I'm just creating more stuff to do. What is wrong with me? But then thinking, if I stopped creating, if I stopped doing this stuff, sometimes I kind of idolize that. Like, if I stopped, it just would be such a relief, you know? It'd be so easy. But I'm like, nah, I'd just cram more stuff in there.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, and you know, that's really interesting. As we've scaled up,
yeah,
it really takes a certain a certain person to be able to work close with me. Because as you're going, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do that. I do that all day long. You know, like we have started during COVID, you know, it's, yes, we are flowers for events. There is no question about it, but flowers are flowers. And, you know, COVID's stressful and we're all stuck at home. We're all afraid to go out and, you know, touch anything. You know, we're all homeschooling our kids. We're around our family more than we have ever been around. They're driving us crazy, you know? So, you know, we started all these campaigns, you know, hashtag save the growers, you know, mm-hmm. And, or we started, you know, I never remember this, forgive me. It's, creativity in confinement. Oh, it's not confinement. It's two C's. I can't remember what it is. But it's nice. Like all of these ideas of how we can bring flowers to your house, you know, and they're, you know, they're COVID free. We can't say that really, but they're, you know, they're packed minimal human interaction with the flowers. And it was all about, you know, like hashtag save the growers. That campaign was all about, here I am with my vendors who I've worked with for over 20 years.
Wow.
And these beautiful flowers that they have poured their life into, their savings into, they're hardworking. Like they're the families that work for their families that work for their families. I mean, it's just, it's this, you know, you're watching this and you're watching it all fall apart. And as it's falling apart, that sparked my mind. And, you know, we started Save the Growers, where it's just like, we're getting flowers. We reduced our margins to very minimal. And we just wanted to get those flowers that were being thrown away to the dumps and the dumpsters to your doorstep.
Mm-hmm. You know? Wow.
And it kind of goes back to, you know, and I've done, we're about to launch Flowers for Your House, which is just, you know, everyone needs flowers in their house. And, you know, we're going to make it affordable and it, not just affordable, bringing that joy into your house to where it's easy, you know, mm-hmm. it's a click of the button. You know, we threw ourselves into, and we've been waiting until we got our trademark to launch a business called flowerfix.com. And it's basically a subscription service as well. You know, and you're sitting and you're going, here I am. I wake up every single morning with like 10 ideas more that we need to be doing. My team can't keep up with me.
You know? I love that.
And this is where I'm getting back to that point of, you know, people look at you like, who in the world are you? You know, you crazy person. And having the team built around me, you know, literally people have to stay away from me because I am going too fast for them. It stresses them out. Yeah. And that's fine. I mean, it's fine. My tech department, they can't be around me. Like that we're like
That's so funny. I feel like this is why when I talked to you at the expo for the Wedding Hacker Expo, I was like, I relate to her so much because I am like that person.
Yeah.
I'm constantly writing down ideas. And I just have a notebook where I'm like, I'm just going to brain dump in there. And I check in once a month and go, which of these am I going to cherry pick? Because I'm going to lose my mind trying to do everything.
Everything. Oh, and you will lose your mind.
I feel so understood right now. One of my best friends in the world is a wedding florist. And she also works in a floral shop. Homegirl can't even get on the phone with me without me being like, so I've been thinking a lot about maybe getting a floral course for you. Do you want to get one started? And she, it's one of my best friends in the world. She can't even get on the phone with me without me pitching these ideas to her because I'm like, well, what if we got you on Instagram stories? And then what if we created, because I had this idea of doing like a do your own floral, but like a whole tutorial, everything all together, anything that you might want to build all in one place, processing the flowers, all that. She can't even get on the phone with me to talk about normal life stuff without me being like, okay. And then I was wondering for the inbox. She's like, I can't, can we just talk, you know, about our husbands for a second? Or can we just be,
can I vent?
I'm like, but the ideas, you know what I mean? So it's, yeah, sometimes you feel a little crazy and people can't be around you because of my, you know, or our spouses who are just like, really another idea? You're just going to.
Oh. But it's bad when you have two in the same house because Joe and I are just like, we'll stay up till 4. We'll just keep going. And then we're eventually like, we're going to literally collapse. This is not healthy. Yeah. But I feel like we need to circle back to the start of your entrepreneurial journey because we're talking about all this stuff
great.
That connects us all. And I love it. But where did you start? Tell us.
Okay. So when I was 9 years old, my neighbor was one of the first people, and I think she was a secretary, and I'm saying secretary because it was like 1970s, for Avon. She was like one of the first hires for Avon. And so she got me selling door to door Avon in the neighborhood. And that's when my brain started. I, in Texas, you know, it gets really hot in Texas.
I literally just moved to Texas.
Air conditioners run, right? Mm-hmm. I would go behind the air conditioner, pick all the flowers, put them in water, and try to make my own perfume. Because if Avon could do it, I could do it, right?
Yeah.
I have some of that perfume today in my house. My mom saved it.
Oh, so, that's so sweet.
Isn't that, well, it's dark green, and it would stain anything you put it on. It smells kind of nice, but... definitely not one I'm taking to market. And it's interesting because I can go back and I can walk that journey of just like, you know, I started a t-shirt company. Like I made t-shirt dresses and I sewed on myself and I did all these things trying to, you know, just, you know, learn. And I don't know why. It was just like this ignition, this spark, like go do it. And I went to college and fell in love with our Peace Corps representative and decided to go into Peace Corps. And while I was in Peace Corps, I worked in small business and I helped artisans and all different types of businesses improve their product for export. And I finished and just didn't want to come back to the States. And that's when a friend of mine was like, come take my job. You know, I'm moving to the bank and you can run the accounting for this department. I'm like, I'm not an accountant, especially in Ecuador. However, I took the job.
And okay, so you did it.
I just did it. I was like, okay, you'll teach me. I mean, I know that 1 + 1 = 2, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And calculators exist, right?
Yeah.
And Ecuador, hello. Yeah.
Can't be that hard. And yeah. I mean, honestly, it's once again, you put your nose into the sand and you just do it and you teach yourself how to do it. And, you know, my boss was an American lady. I still to this day cannot believe she hired me. And her husband owned a flower farm. And that's how I found flowers. You know, they started to go through a divorce and I really liked his personality more than hers. And plus I kind of liked flowers. I wanted to really get into it instead of like the import export part of it. So that's how I found flowers. And from there, you know, I just worked for a farm here, a farm there. I worked for an importer in Miami. All of this, you know, one of the biggest flower farms that is no longer a flower farm. But I worked for all these different types of businesses and decided one day, my clients came to me and said, hey, start your own business. We will follow you. And that's where, you know,
wow.
I had all the tribal knowledge. And when I say I have all the tribal knowledge, I threw myself into my job. You know, I think about those farm owners that I worked for and what, you know, the opportunities that they gave me and how I also brought like their sales department, you know, I brought processes to it. You know, I learned all about that and I didn't know what I was doing. I studied recreation park and tourism science. Like I didn't know anything about business.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No.
Nope. Nothing. Like I took some marketing classes, you know, and, you know, worked for Marriott. That was about it. But no, I mean, it was a great general degree, but it was not it was not business. And, you know, then I decided I don't want to come back to the States. And I mean, and not that let me take a step back. I decided to launch off and just do it on my own. And to this day that I started my first business, which is Farm Exports, and it's a B2B business. And to this day, I have clients that I've had since 1998.
Wow.
And we ship flowers direct from the farm to through the traditional channel of distribution. You know, they fly from, you know, Ecuador, Colombia, Holland, anywhere into a port. And in that port, they clear customs and then they get trucked to the wholesalers across. And it's actually across the world. I mean, I used to sell into Russia and Kuwait. I've got so many fun stories selling into Italy. And we were the first company to ship flowers and, you know, from South America into Guam. And we still provide Guam with a lot of flowers. So, you know, that's where the whole passion for flowers came. And, you know, and in 2001, I called off a wedding. It was probably 2000 I called the wedding off. And I was heartbroken. and I needed something to distract me. And that's when, you know, an international shipping company was going from zero to, you know, they were offering this overnight to the consumer doorstep. And it was, I mean, that was such a disruptive way of selling flowers. You know, to give you an idea, you know, a rose will be cut down in Ecuador. By the time it gets into an arrangement to your doorstep, you know, in an arrangement that a florist will deliver, it can be up to like 18 days old.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And here I had this opportunity to take a rose and have it on your doorstep, you know, 24 to 72 hours after it's cut. You know, it was like, oh, I'm jumping into this. I am getting into this. Yeah. And so I had to write a business plan, and it really wasn't a true business plan. I had to come up with a name, write a business plan, which I'd never done before. Farm Exports just started with a computer. And, you know, yeah, those are fun days.
Wow.
And this international shipping company, like, could we do this? You know, will you select us? Because they were only selecting three businesses to start with. And we got selected. And that's how we started, you know?
That is wild. And now, I mean, you've been around so long and doing this and have it perfected. Did you ever imagine where it would develop and evolve to?
Oh, no. Oh, no. You know, it's something that you look back and I think about those days and I think about what was I really expecting us to be and go forth. And, you know, I think a lot of it was my drive into this day. You know, my drive is I want to create an incredible place for people to come in and work. You know, I want to create that family of, you know, the passion for the flowers and the passion to, you know, feel the joy that our clients feel when they receive flowers.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like you're taking steps to really treat your team like family when you are taking those steps of thinking about their kids and how are you managing to homeschool and get through this craziness right now, and that you're setting that up for them. It's like, wow, what a leader you are to have that perspective in a world where capitalism is so focused on just the benefit of the top person. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're really building a team and a community there. So kudos.
We're really trying. Since day one, you know, I started my business down in Ecuador, you know, where women are not respected. You know, we struggle here in the States. However, mm-hmm. in Ecuador, it's shell shocking when mm-hmm. you have such a lack of confidence because of your gender. And you know, my goal was, you know, number one, I want a woman to walk in, you know, if you're going to join my team, you're going to have to look at me in the eyes. That, just as simple as that. It takes a lot of confidence to just look at, you know, your boss eye to eye. And women in Ecuador couldn't do that. The women mm-hmm. on my team, and I could tell you successful stories of people who, you know, I have one lady, she's about to be 20 years with us. And we have been through it all. You know, we've been through, you know, and it's that empowerment of women that's part of my drive. I mean, my drive every day is to, I am more responsible with my work than I am with my self-care. And that's wrong. It's not balance. And I'm not saying that's what you should do. However, I go to work because of that one woman who's about to be 20 years with us.
Yeah.
You know,
part of that entrepreneurial drive for you, it sounds like too, that you're just taking care of this thing you've built and cultivated. And I mean, when did you know that you had something special here with 50 Flowers?
Oh, you know, it's really funny. From the get-go, you know, first off, as an entrepreneur, if you let your gut just guide you, you're going to do well. And I don't mean to come off as arrogant about that. However, I truly believe, and this is a message for everybody, if you can dream it, you can do it. And yeah. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, it might be, you know, running a marathon, you know, it might be, you know, spending more time with your kids. You know, it's just whatever you dream, you can definitely do it. And, you know, I can go back and think of so many successes that from the get-go. You know, Miss Universe was being the floral sponsor for Miss Universe. That was a big deal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Roadmap, you know. It was in Ecuador and, you know, just through connections. And not only through connections, just like not being afraid to ask.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And not being afraid going to Tony, who was their VP of business development, going, hey, you're going to want flowers. Why don't you let me just be the sponsor? You know, let's just do this, you know. And in 2008, really peeling back and saying in 2008, when the economic crisis happened, we went, okay, we're busy, to holy smokes, are we busy? Mm-hmm. You know, that was when May of 2008, you know, I had kids. I had a kid, a daughter, a beautiful daughter, and I was working 14-hour days. Ugh. And, you know, that's when we had to staff up. We had to do this. And, you know, I went on a trip, and it was that one trip to where I was like, I have got to disconnect. And I went to this beautiful resort up in Vancouver. And I promised myself I was not going to connect with the office. And I had to. I got off the plane and I was like, I'm turning off my phone. I'll talk with y'all in 5 days. Okay, well, can we just go through one thing with you? I'm like, sure, what is it? The editor-in-chief from Brides Magazine had called and wanted us to send some flowers for an editorial shoot.
Oh, wow. Oh,
okay.
Just a small thing.
I got chills again watching y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. What a moment.
And I'm really proud of myself, because every entrepreneur will get this. I was talking on the phone with one of my gals who just actually, she's 15 years with the company now. And mm-hmm. She's like my sister. I was like, okay, Lauren, this is what I would suggest we do. Ship her one of everything.
Mm-hmm. Order it out.
Go. Flowers. That
just go hard.
Just go crazy. Because to pay for something like that, I couldn't imagine. And we got, and I can't remember if it was 8, 10, 15, but we got tons of pages because of that.
Wow.
Wow. How incredible.
Yeah. And then there are like these little events that happened that, you know, when I was pregnant with my second child, Eloise, I was calling to, you know, store her umbilical cord and, you know, some 1-800 number to some national company. And I'm talking to the woman and she's really sweet. And she says, okay, so what's your email? And I'm like, well, it's Lisa at 50 Flowers. Oh, I'm getting my wedding flowers from there. And it's another one of those moments to where you're like, oh, this brand is definitely, it's happening, you know, and the power that of that, it's those little deposits that just continue to fuel that drive, you mm-hmm. know, that drive.
Yeah. That's incredible. And I mean, wow. Yeah. You have built something really special over there. And I know Jamie and I have both gotten the pleasure of working with your flowers and having them provided for like the mixer we had earlier this year, which thank you for that. It was so incredible.
Yeah. That was beautiful. So pretty.
And totally. I mean, it's just, I can't even imagine how disruptive this was at the time when you started it, because back then it was like nothing, you didn't get anything delivered, let alone things from another country that are fresh that just got cut yesterday. So we're so spoiled now to have access to this. And I think looking back at your whole journey is so impressive. One question for you. I mean, it sounds like you've ridden the waves all over the place. What do you have to recommend for people who are like a little freaked out right now with this trough we're in for 2020?
So, first, I think when I realized that COVID was going to hit, there was a moment where I pulled our whole team together, and I've been really into like putting hashtags on everything. And it's like, this is hashtag keep the lights on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know where we're going. I don't know how we're going to get there, you know, and that's scary feeling as the leader of this company,
mm-hmm.
because feel like I'm navigating this ship blind, mm-hmm. you know, and we don't know what we're going into. And, you know, what I highly suggest is just over communication with your team, with your family. You know, as Brené Brown has taught us all, and if you don't know Brené Brown, you've got to read all of her books. In fact,
yep.
Dare to Lead book is phenomenal. We need to be authentic and vulnerable. You know, it's a challenge, you know, because we don't know what's coming up. And overall, you know, I look at my team also. You know, I like to call us the 50 Flowers family. In the 50 Flowers family, we have both internal and external. Internal is the team, you know. And so we pulled together, we talked about keeping the lights on. You know, everyone was really worried about their jobs. And, you know, I had to frankly say, and this is the first time I think a lot of us have had to face this, of, I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep you here. Mm-hmm. We're going to try everything we possibly can. However, just know that if I have to pick up the phone and tell you that we're going to have to furlough you, please understand that it's not because you've done something that has caused this. It just is that the situation we're in. And I don't know if y'all know this, but I have an office here and an office also in Quito, Ecuador.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Half of our team is down in Ecuador, which is even more of a volatile, it's a third world developing country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, up here, we have a great medical system. Down there, they do not. And, you know, as you're talking with your team, they have all of these fears. And it's not, you know, losing your job is one of them. I think we all have those fears, you know. And mm-hmm. as much as you can just relate and stay open communication, I think is really important. So with the internal, we did that. And as well with the external, you know, with our clients. You know, with all of the couples that have entrusted their wedding flower orders with us, you know, we were, as we talked about earlier, first and foremost, we reached out to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we just said, hey, this is what's going to happen. And we're here for you and with you, you know, and it was a lot to ask. And the whole team came together. You know, we had those first couple of weeks. I didn't ask one person on my team to come in. In fact, I said, if you want to work from home, but I'm going to be in the office in our conference room. And, you know, I had everyone at the table, all the management at the table, and we were calling brides, mm-hmm. you know, we were calling couples, we were calling everyone, because it's not fair also. And this might be part of our culture is, you know, humility is very important. And everyone takes the trash out, quote, quote, is what I say. And we literally do. I make sure everyone takes the trash out once a month. I don't care if you're, you know, a director of tech or you're whoever, because we get a lot of boxes in our boom studio and there's a lot of trash that needs to pile. But it makes it real. And, you know, everybody on our team was calling and talking because you don't know how people were going to react on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
it's very scary for the couples going through this who are, you know, saving so much money to celebrate with this big, momentous, like once in a lifetime event. And now everything they've put together, everything they've envisioned is just completely up in the air.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything's up in the air. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is an extremely emotionally charged, important day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these couples, you have to appease so many different levels. You know, it's not just you and your celebration. It's also, you know, your soon to be in-laws that, mm-hmm. you know, might not know that well. Yeah. And, you know, it's daunting. And now we've gone from, you know, you planned it and now it's not going to happen. And mm-hmm. everyone is rescheduling. And then having to reschedule again. And there are only so many venues.
Right. And it's hard for them sometimes to adjust the vision, because I've had some couples who are like, no, I want to keep it the same. And I'm like, well, you can do that, but I don't know when your wedding will be the same as what you had intended. If you have the intention of, I want to get married, I want to buy a house together or have a child or travel the world, whatever your goals are as a married couple, if you want to get married first, you may need to do it in a different format than you thought and come back to this party later. And that's hard to emotionally process. I think anytime where your expectations and reality really diverge, it's a hard one to accept. And that's really what people have been doing, is mourning that vision, that expectation they had.
Yeah, I think that's the key word. It's allowing yourself time to mourn, because it is, it's a mourning process. I mean, for our clients, it's a mourning process for us. Like, I'm so sad that I can't work these events, that they aren't happening. It's, and allowing yourself space and time to be like, I'm going to be sad about this and I'm going to mourn the changes, and I'm going to mourn letting go of what I thought this would look like.
Exactly. Ultimately, life is an ultra marathon. You know, this has been one of my favorite words lately. It's just, I feel like we're on this ultra marathon. And, you know, if we don't stop and allow the grieving process, or allow the, you know, the sadness, or allow those feelings to come in and embrace them, it's just going to build up more, and that volcano is going to explode.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I think a lot of the folks who listen to this podcast are solopreneurs more. They're not quite to your level. They're not EO qualified and, you know, multiple offices.
Yeah, when you said $1 million business, I was like, nope.
I'm like, we aspire to be like you, but we're not quite there.
It's EOA. You should, I mean, honestly,
that's what we need to get into it. Okay. We'll work our way up. We're building. But what about those folks who just feel kind of stuck because they are a one-man band and they don't even know what to do with themselves right now? I mean, hopefully they're tapping into all these ideas and they have a notepad full of them, but if not.
Yeah. Well, first off, when COVID hit, I there was a 30-day challenge with Oprah, and it was a meditation challenge. I made it through day two because, you know, who has time for self-care?
When you started off with the story, I was like, 30-day meditation challenge. I could never.
No, you are my people. I can't even do the 5-minute 30. This was a 30-minute one too. I was oh my gosh. Oh my gracious. But, you know, one of her favorite friends, you know, my, I never can say her name right. And Angelou. Thank you. Sorry. I martyr that. I'm trilingual, and it just futzes with my brain. But she talked about the concept that fear and hope cannot exist in the same arena. And you have to choose one of the two. And knowing, you know, that we're all in this together, and none of us know what tomorrow brings. It's scary, you know, and going back to those early days of looking and saying 55ers is my baby. It's my third baby, you know, and knowing as things were canceling, you know, were we going to lose our business? Mm-hmm. You know, March is when we start to pick up. And, you know, it's self-funded. I do not have VC money. I do not have anybody, you know, and you're just kind of looking at it going, it's rocky times, mm-hmm. you know, it's bigger than I am. And I don't know how to control this. And, you know, but the one thing I know that I can control are my actions and my reactions and my thoughts. And I'm not going to buy into this fear.
Yeah.
You know, it's an emotional roller coaster, and you can use fear to motivate yourselves, but I'm not going to allow it to take over my thought process, you know. And every day when it tries to creep in, I kick it out and just say, stay away. I know that's kind of funny, right? But it's kind of it's the truth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And through all this, you know, instead of taking it of like, oh my gosh, now I have to get down and get my hands dirty and do stuff when I really need to be working on, you know, developing more products, I've got to get in and do this. It's that shift of the attitude of, I get to do the basic work again. And I get to have that touch point with our clients, or I get to have, you know, the opportunity to do that. It's a mind shift of I'm not going to accept failure.
Yeah, I've heard that. And for me, I know my husband and I do this where if we say I have to do X, we go cancel, cancel. I get to do this. You. Like that we're framing it. We say cancel, cancel, clear it out. That we have the power to not do whatever. So you are getting to do it. And if you do it intentionally like that, it does frame things differently, even when it's like getting to change the baby's stinky poopy diaper.
Yeah.
Like
I get to.
I get to deal with this precious little bundle, you know?
So. And I'm glad. I mean, it's really making that shift, mm-hmm. you know, and I know we've talked about our kids and making that shift with them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really brings awareness to you create your future. You know, you are the one who you define it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You write your own story and you get to choose your ending.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I saw you were doing something pretty incredible for the frontline folks during this COVID stuff. Do you want to talk about that a little? Because that's just showing how you're spreading the spirit of joy out there.
Oh, definitely. So early on, and even now, I mean, I would love to do more of it. You know, we have access to all of these flowers. And we all know that flowers bring joy. There are scientific studies. I can talk till I'm blue in the face about it. And we were able to bring in, you know, thousands of bouquets and hand them out at our hospitals, at nursing homes here in town. And I was talking to my team preparing for this and I'm like, I got to tell them about this. So it was around Easter time and some of our bouquets, we got in like 4,000 bouquets. We were giving out to one of the hospitals, to all the frontline.
Oh, wow.
And we go to open them up and I didn't even look at the recipe. I just called a friend of mine down in Bogota and I was like, Pepe, can you send some bouquets? He's like, yeah, I'll send you bouquets. So we got them in and I go to open up the box and they had these, I mean, honest to goodness gracious, these bunnies that looked like peeps.
Oh,
that were fluorescent colors.
Wait, wow.
And all the flowers themselves. And I was like, oh my gosh, we cannot put these, like, what are we going to do? And I'm standing there and it's freezing cold and like they're walking out. Like we didn't even stop to look at them. Right. And believe it or not, they actually brought more joy than the flowers. Like everyone loved them.
That's awesome.
And it was scary driving up to the hospital, you know, doors that had these huge orange stickers on them that were like, stay out. And that's, it kind of made the whole situation real
mm-hmm.
for all of us on the team, you know, and then going to the nursing homes, which, you know, it's so beautiful to be around these amazing people who have lived these just rich lives and looking at them going, I got to stay away from you. I want to give you a hug, but I cannot. And mm-hmm. after the whole thing goes over, will you teach my child to knit? She really would, like, honestly, Edith, we're coming back, you know, because
yeah.
so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that spirit of, it, once again, it goes into, I am so blessed because I'm able to orchestrate that with my whole team. It's not just us giving flowers. You know, there is a joy in giving as well as receiving.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. And it sounds like you've really taken this time to be really intentional. And I think I keep hearing that idea or even that word, you are being extremely intentional. And that you've been doing some great things to spread joy, like both around you, in your own company, and internationally. Can you tell us about how that fits within your company's values and within your mission? Is that integrated or is this just your spirit that leads you through all this? How does that work for you as your company?
No, you know, it's interesting because, you know, you go down to your mission, your values, and you know, we've written them and rewritten them. I mean, we're 2 decades old. And this past, you know, going into, I would say like 3 months before COVID hit, we got these, we have this neon sign that says, be awesome. And COVID hit and I was like, you know what? That is going to be our mission throughout all of this. We are going to be awesome. And it's such a general term, but it can be very specific. You know, it doesn't matter if you're going to pick up the phone, be awesome at it.
Mm-hmm.
you know, if you know that you're having a bad moment, don't pick up the phone. Because what we all want to do is we want to be awesome. You know, if you're going to go and, you know, you're writing our blog, you know, or whatever you're doing, just be awesome at it. And down deep, and, you know, we talk about this often in our all hands meetings of, you know, as long as you are doing your best, you're being awesome. And, you know, I was just on a really great panel with the Society of American Florists, and we were talking about failure. A great company to study if you're interested in culture is HEB, which is a grocery chain down
that Texans are very proud of. I just moved to Texas like 3 weeks ago. Oh my goodness. Texans are very proud of their HEB. Yes.
honestly, their corporate culture is phenomenal.
Is it?
Hearing Joe Don talk about what, like how they, like their employees are called partners, and, you know, just listening to him talk about, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of like us. It's kind of like us. And, you know, I'm Texan, so I'm proud of HEB too. And he talked about failure, you know, and in our company, we're awesome at failing. You know, we love to fail because we analyze every failure. You know, when we have an event and something goes wrong, we analyze that like crazy, you know, and it's not because we want to point a finger. It's because we don't want to repeat it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We do the same exact thing at the end of events. It's something I accidentally started doing because I've shared this before, but my mom has been an assistant of mine for a very long time. She's very good at running parties and doing events and stuff. And so when I first got started, I was like, Mom, will you help me? So after every event, we would go and break down what went well and what did not go well. And to this day, after every single one, we do that same thing. And it's refreshing, obviously, to do that, to then go, okay, so it doesn't happen again, even if it's not our fault, even if, you know, the blame doesn't lie at our feet, what can we do? How can we analyze that to make sure that we could take steps to prevent that from happening in the future? It's like a great opportunity.
And, you know, he talked about the very first thing they do is hug that employee, because, you know, the very last thing you want to do is stop somebody from taking a risk.
Yeah. And you want them to grow with you.
Exactly. And embrace it. I mean, I can't tell you how many failures we have had and, you know, how refreshing it is to where it's okay. You know, we laugh at it. We laugh at our failures. We try to.
That's so encouraging, because you're basically like kind of like a wedding superstar, in my opinion. So for you to be like, yeah, we've screwed up a whole lot.
I'm
like, okay, thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, I know. This is why I'm like a super fan of Lisa. I'm like, oh, she's an idol for me.
I'm just a little girl that loves flowers from Texas. I hate to say it like that, but.
To be honest, when she told me that we were going to have you on the podcast, like I ordered flowers from 50 Flowers for my very first styled shoot. So before I even booked my first client, I was doing 50, like working with 50 Flowers. So, I mean, I probably still would have figured it out, but I looked at that time and that moment and getting those flowers. And that was the first thing I filmed on my camera, by the way, was doing those flowers.
Yeah, I'd love to hear
that. I don't have the footage anymore. I don't know where it is, but like, so to hear that you were coming on, I was like,
oh, we should do like a throwback Thursday and get those pictures on.
I should see if
I could love to see them. Yeah. We'll feature them. I would love to feature them.
Yeah, it was all Alice in Wonderland themed. We had like teacups hanging from trees with flowers all in them. It was great.
Y'all get to do all the fun stuff. I mean, our boom studio, we don't get to do that much fun. We're just taking product shots.
Oh, yeah, but you get to work with flowers all the time. Yeah, so basically, that's a long roundabout way of saying, like, this is such great insight, and we're so, so excited that you've joined us for this. And since, obviously, Heather and I have had the opportunity to work with you, we clearly understand how awesome it is for us to be able to do this. How can others in the wedding industry work with you guys?
Okay, so there are 4 points that I came up with. First off, buy flowers. Everybody needs flowers, and especially right now. Second off, share on social about, you know, our Save the Growers campaign. You know, we have some phenomenal wedding collections that we've put together that are pre-designed down in our design center. And you can reach out to us. We will help you with everything. And we're really good. What we're starting to see a trend of is a lot of quick turnarounds to where either, you know, all of a sudden you're just going to get married and it's going to be an intimate wedding and no one can get flowers to you, or, you know, your venue canceled or your florist canceled or something happened. We make that happen. Like, I can't tell you how many weddings this week we delivered flowers for that we got the phone call on Wednesday.
Wow.
And the flowers we delivered Thursday and Friday. So that's also just know that we have that. You know, one of the third points is talk to us. We need to know what you need to hear from us. And we will turn around and make videos. We will write blogs on it. Like, you know, you get to a point to where you're like, I think we've done enough. I think we're doing what we need to do for our clients. What else can we do for you? Like, do you want to know how to make a Lysianthus bouquet? Do you want to know how, you know, to create an arch out of Monstera leaves? Oh, this week we had Monstera leaves that were 4 feet tall. Oh, yeah. Cool.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm a houseplant fiend. Like, I'm crazy. 4 feet?
4 feet. 4 feet, if not, I mean, and, you know, my friend was like, you know, my friend, my farmer, who I've known forever, and she's like, you are going to just, you know, you're going to be elated. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
They're phenomenal.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not a designer. So, and I don't have the vision that, you know, designers have, but I could see that just in so many different places. Beautiful, beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I need a 4 foot Monstera leaf in my life, even if it's for a brief span of time, or let's just start praying that one of my plants actually grows big enough to get to that size. Man, that's crazy.
And they come from like the jungles of Ecuador.
That's so cool. We've
been doing a whole bunch of tropicals lately. Like, we have these baby, I mean, it's, I've had so much fun lately.
Yeah.
Like, just learning more about flowers and teaching more about flowers. I have, the Flower CEO is, a platform that we're launching to teach more about flowers.
Wow.
And we're going to start doing Instagram lives every Tuesday and Wednesday when we open up boxes that have come in from all over the world.
That is genius. Unboxing videos are so popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is like, it's not even, it's raw material. It's one of our in-house designer, Mariah, and I just unboxed the flowers. We don't know what we're going to see. PQ could have gotten into it. That's when they inspect the flowers coming in, nationalizing into the States. And it could be mush, you know, but it could be, so far it hasn't been. And that happens one out of every 2,000 boxes, just to give you a heads up on that. However, it's just, you know, once again, it goes down to, this is part of, and I just have to circle back to COVID and the effects of COVID and the effects it has and how it can be so scary. This is the perfect time for innovation.
Mm.
This is a great time, like you said, write in your journal and, you know, just focus on, meditate. And I know that's a cheesy way of saying, but disconnect. However you need to disconnect, go out into nature, go out into, you know, go run, you know, go sit and watch TV. That's a great, it might be a great way just to get disconnect and then step back in. And it's a time of innovation.
Yeah.
And speaking of innovation, we have our new subscription platform, flowereffects.com. That is, you can sign up, and we got a really cool way. And I can say once again, disruptor, you can sign up to receive a text on a weekly basis. And we text you these huge bouquets that we're shipping on an amazing price point that you can just text back. Yes, I want it this week, or not answer anything at all.
That's awesome.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, I'm going to the website right now because I'm like, I need to be on that list.
We're
going to
relaunch it and, you know, here in a bit that to where, but it's also, you can sign up for a subscription, like a DIY box, or, you know, it's just, it's.
I'm going to need that. Yes. In my life for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and all the stuff you guys have with the collections and stuff. I mean, I rave about those to the wedding hacker folks all the time, because I'm like, if you do not have flowers as your ultimate top priority, like, this is a way to get beautiful flowers, but not spend all of your money and also not spend a bunch of energy trying to build something and develop something. It's just like, you guys have done it for them, and it's phenomenal and it's affordable.
These collections are, I mean, they're designed around what, you know, we in the company would want. It's not just roses. You know, these are the trendy colors. They are, you know, they've got all of the blush burgundy. It has all of the corals. You know, we've got one for everybody. And if not, let us know. We'll design another one, you know, and it's got all the fun flowers in them, all the garden roses and the scabiosa, or just the greenery.
Ooh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. This is amazing. And Jamie, I think if your friend doesn't take you up on this whole, like, make a course about flowers, yeah, you should talk to Lisa here and get
Hey, Lisa, let's figure that out. Flowers become
like, definitely, let's do it.
They would distribute those flowers for you to help people. I'm like,
Okay. I full on thought through this entire course, because I was like, if we could partner with someone and then teach them how to do them, and it could just, like, all be cohesive. Cause, like, we've got the audience for it over on YouTube, just literally jonesing for DIY content.
Loving it.
Well, and we're right there. I mean, that's our, you know, and it's interesting, because talking about the different stages of business that you go in, you get to a point where you're like, okay, now when we started, Shopify was not around, you know, none of these platforms are around. We are, I mean, managing our tech department is huge. You know, we have our own platform, yeah, and it's, you know, it's very customized to where our farms are, you know, it's, there's zero room for error. And, you know, to put a bell or whistle on, it takes 6 months of distribution.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get into that and you're like, okay, so then there's that part of it, but then we need to be forward facing and saying, this is how you do your own flowers. You know, I remember 10 years ago going, you know, on YouTube, they're going to own that. You know, someone's going to own that sphere. And you're trying to be that person telling you how to design it. That's not us. It wasn't then. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, it fast forward to now, it's like, gosh, I wish we would have done that. I wish we would have brought in a designer and really helped people more, because we are the flower authority. You know, I can guarantee you there's very few people in this world who is more enamored and connected in the flower world, you know, than us.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what we do. And for 25 years, I have, you know, developed this network of partner farms and, you know, people that have, you know, we share the passion and, you know, constantly out there and, you know, sitting on boards that are part of and just being part of the flower community, standing in front of, you know, my congressmen and senators, just advocating for the flower industry. And
wow,
you know, you move forward through that and you're like, okay, it's time. You know, I would love to put together DIY tutorials, you know, but I'm not an expert. So if you have an expert, let's do it.
I mean, good thing we have a notable YouTuber here who's, like, got the audience that could, you know, bring together something. I'm very excited about this. So everyone listening, I am making notes. So stand by.
No, I know Heather. I'm like, no, this is, I'm down. This sounds incredible. I think this would be wonderful. I think, honestly, I've, like, stumbled through some DIYs before, or some floral DIYs. And I think this is, like, it's the perfect pairing. It would be really fun.
Yeah. Well, everyone stand by, watch for something exciting coming in a little while. And oh my gosh, this was just, like, talk about being awesome. Like, Lisa, you are awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here and being a light for everybody in this wedding industry who needs it right now.
Yeah. Well, and just know also, I mean, reach out. I'd love to continue. And maybe we need to start, like, a wedding industry entrepreneur just forum.
Yes. Yes, we do.
We do.
That's something that Heather and I have talked about. There's, like, the entrepreneurs, and then there's the wedding industry. And there is this weird disconnect when I'm like, a lot of us are entrepreneurs, but we don't feel like we fit in with the entrepreneurial groups.
Yeah. And I think that maybe we need to do something there.
Awesome.
That'd be so fun.
I love it.
My cheeks hurt. This has been a lot of smiling on my end. Okay.
You know what? Okay. There's two things we got to work on now.
Yep.
All right. We got it.
Write it down your idea books, ladies. We've got time to stop the meditation and let's get going, you know? Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Seriously, this was such a treat and such an honor. And I know that our listeners are enjoying this just as much as Heather and I have been, although we might be nerding out like a little bit more than there, but that's fine. But thank you for spending your time with us and sharing so much of your valuable knowledge. It really means a lot to us.
Well, Jamie and Heather, thank you for being the light in this world right now and really getting us all connected and realizing that we're all in this together. And at the end of the day, life is life and we're all going to make it through this, you know, as long as we have, you know, as long as our heart is beating, we're alive. And we need to feel that and live with purpose.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
You've just walked down the aisle of today's episode of the Union Podcast. Thank you for celebrating today's show with us. We hope that you found a little gem of wedding wisdom from this episode. Please let us know your feedback by sharing a screenshot of this episode on Instagram. Be sure to tag @UnionPodcast so we can hear your voices. Let us know what topics you'd love to hear about on future episodes. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on whatever podcast platform you prefer. Until next time, stay lovely, wedding friends.